So our text for this morning's meditation is from Romans, these words, and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text for this morning's meditation would raise the question for us as to how we look at the Scriptures, that is, the Bible. I mean, when we think about reading the Bible, the very Word of God, what is our first thought? What instantly comes to mind? How even do we feel about it, if we want to ask it in a modern way? Well, one of the first things we can think when we think about reading the Scriptures is that the words in our Bibles are way too small for us to read, and the paper's too thin for us to turn the pages effectively. And that being the case, it can be quite a challenge simply to start to read the Bible and keep reading the Bible. Well, if this is the first thought for us when we think about reading the Bible, why don't we go up to Barnes & Noble, go online, buy ourselves a really big Bible with large print, large fonts, thicker pages, so we can actually see what we're reading, and then even turn the pages. Now, that problem being solved, the next thought, the next challenge when we think about reading the Word of God might be of that of how to find our way around in the Bible. I mean, it could just be that we never memorize the order of the 66 books of the Bible, so we feel uncomfortable trying to look up a Bible passage, and having tried one time or another and failed, we've just given up in frustration. Well, if this is the case, why don't we use our computer, our tablet, our phone to read the Bible, using one of those Bible apps that are free, like BibleGateway.com. Type it in, or even just say what book of the Bible we want to find. And those apps will take us right to where we want to go. And then we can increase the size of the fonts on the screens. We can change the screen brightness and contrast, and we're good to go. Some of those apps will then even read the text of the Bible out loud to us in whatever type of voice we want to hear. So we don't even have to read it at all, but we can simply listen to the Scriptures, the Bible. Okay. We've jumped over the hurdles of the size of the text of the Bible and how we can find certain texts in the Bible, and yet we then are faced with another challenge, and that is, what are we going to find when we actually read our Bibles? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes when we think about reading the Bible, it's almost as if we are contemplating going to the dentist or our doctor after he's gotten those test results and they call us and they say, well, you know, you really should come in to see us. Or the shop, when we go to pick up our car after it's been fixed and we don't know exactly what's been fixed or how much it's going to cost. Or how about when we think about going to one of those holiday parties and the people that are going to be there, and we think of the conversation we got into the year before with that one guy and it turned into an ugly brouhaha. In other words, when we think about cracking open our Bibles, about reading the Word of God, what really stops us? What really stops us? It's fear, isn't it? Fear of what we might read there. Fear of a lack of understanding on our part. Fear of words that speak right to us, exposing our failings, laying bare our innermost thoughts, so we're thrown into a state of confusion and despair. Well, if we think that way about the Scriptures, we are certainly approaching the Word of God
in the wrong way.
For as the Word itself tells us in our text for this morning, the purpose of the Holy Scriptures is to encourage us. It's to encourage us so we might have hope. Now, what's wrong with that? I mean, we all like people who encourage us, don't we? Maybe we have a favorite teacher in our head who always encouraged us. Or we have a friend who we call who always encourages us. Maybe a favorite relative. Mine was my Uncle Jerry. My Uncle Jerry, who died a few years ago during COVID. Uncle Jerry was married to Aunt Mary, which we always thought that was funny, Jerry and Mary. The two of them living on the family farm there in Illinois. And the thing I liked about Jerry was that he actually knew my name. And he would talk to me. And he would ask me how things were going. And if I'd caught any fish lately. And all sorts of other things. Now, it's not like my other relatives were mean or aloof or dismissive. It was just that when we would return to the farm every summer, there was a lot of us. And I was at the bottom of the us. Bottom of the pile. What happened, what was said, the conversations that took place were therefore always above me, always beyond me, always in an intellectual space where I was not, until my Uncle Jerry would light up his pipe and say something like, "Hey, Polly, how's baseball going this summer? You still pitching?" Even today, when I think about him, the word that pops into my mind is encouraging. He was always encouraging. He always encouraged, and so consequently, I was always happy to see him, always willing to listen to him. And that's exactly how we should think of the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. We should think of the Word of God as that which encourages us, and that is, it gives us courage. For that's what that word means, isn't it? Encouragement. It means to give courage. Now, if there's anything we need nowadays is courage. Courage to get out of bed. Courage to turn on the news. Courage to look at our phones. Courage to talk to another human being. Courage to walk into work. Courage to talk with relatives. Courage to buy something for someone for Christmas. I mean, the list could go on and on and on here as to how much courage we need each day to live. And we all know that's true. We all know it's true. I mean, one of the aspects of becoming an adult is courage, isn't it? That is, having memories of the day-to-day interactions that we had when we were children and teenagers, and that is our failures and our mistakes and our misspeaks, but daring still as adults to interact with the world. You know, the Apostle Paul said once, "I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's Philippians 4. How did Christ strengthen Paul? How does our Lord and Savior strengthen us? By sending us His Spirit through the Scriptures, the Bible, His Holy Word, so that we will have courage. It's in the first chapter of Revelation where the Apostle John sees a vision of Jesus, a vision of Jesus standing amidst golden lampstands, a two-edged sword issuing from his mouth, that two-edged sword being the Word of God in its power, able to penetrate our hearts and souls to the very essence of our being. The lampstands? The attributes of the Holy Spirit as we read about them in Isaiah 11. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Now let's hear that list again. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. Now hearing that these are the attributes of the Holy Spirit shared with us through the very Word of God by means of the proclamation of that the very Son of God, we get a picture of that which really is at the heart of our fear to live in the world, to live in the world in these end times. For so often, we hesitate, we pause, we falter in our engagement with the world. For instead of possessing wisdom, we know that all that we have is foolishness. Understanding? No, what we have is ignorance. Lots of it. Counsel. We never know what to say, when to say it. Might. More like weakness, hesitancy, lack of surety. Knowledge. Even with Google, we cannot figure out what is going on half the time. Fear of the Lord? Well, fear of the Lord only in the sense that if we make one false move, we're going to be squashed like a bug. Taking all of this in, it's no wonder that we lack the courage to live, the courage to walk out our doors and interact not only with our neighbors who live next to us, but our friends and family. If only we did have wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and a proper fear of the Lord, then we could live. Then we could interact. Then we could engage. Do you mean if only we had encouragement? Well, that is what our Savior Jesus would, through His Spirit, work in us through His Word. Courage. He would that we daily find ourselves in His Word, listening to Him, so that His Spirit can work in our hearts and souls, and we then can be encouraged. And why not? Why not encouraged by our Lord and Savior Jesus? For it is Jesus, after all, who courageously overcame that which causes our fear, our guilt, our shame, our weakness, our ignorance, and everything else in our lives that flows from sin, which causes us, like the servant who buried the mina given by his master to use while he was away, to not have the strength to do anything at all. Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word of God, however, to provide the courage of Christ, thus strengthening us, as Paul says. For as He overcame sin, death, and hell on the cross, rising again from the dead victoriously, so He strengthens us to confront and overcome sin, death, and hell, and all their precursors and iterations every single day of our lives. We know how this works. We know how this works, this courage that helps us to live in this world. When we look at people like Bill Gates, Taylor Swift, LeBron James, we ask ourselves how they have the courage to do what they do. Well, they are like plenty of people in the world that have confidence in themselves, and rightly so, because they have been gifted with skills and talents and abilities far superior to those of the man on the street. Such incredibly gifted people are confident in those gifts, encouraged by those gifts in themselves, until those gifts begin to fail, and they no longer can rely on their utilization. But the Christian, you, me, we need not worry about the source of our courage thus failing, for the source of our courage is Christ. For His power and authority is everlasting and eternal, and it is in His gifts, that is, the capacities and abilities and talents, if we can put it that way, of our Savior Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would point to us and say, have courage in them. Have courage in the gifts of Christ utilized for you, and the basis for the work of the Holy Spirit within you. Rely on Christ's wisdom. Rely on Christ's understanding, His counsel, His might, His knowledge. And then live in utter awe and respect for the One who would daily and richly forgive your sins and strengthen you to live. Now that should be enough for us to dive back into the Holy Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Very simply put, in order to have the strength to live, to be encouraged, to engage. So what does that look like then? Our diving back into the Word of God. Reading chapters a day? No. It can be a sentence, a phrase that we kick around in our brain all afternoon. A word even, a single word whose meaning we discover, and then we begin to realize how that word describes us and helps us and encourages us. We read at our own pace, but we do read, or just listen. And we do meditate on that word. You know, it's one of the theories behind the meaning of that strange word in the Psalms that pops up here and there. And that word is Selah, S-E-L-A-H. Perhaps you've seen it as you've read the Psalms. For every once in a while, that word pops up out of nowhere there in the Psalms. And it's not translated, it's transliterated. That is, English letters are used to express the Hebrew word. What does that mean, Selah? Well, one theory is that it means stop, think, ponder, especially what you've just read. Don't rush headlong running to the end of the psalm as fast as you can, but pause and consider what God has just said to you just now. It's for your encouragement, and it will be encouraging. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.